Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a very special episode of The Outer Rim. This is episode 100. We've made it. We are now officially into triple digits. Yay! Go us! All right. We are going to continue our coverage of The Force Awakens with some expansion on what we talked about last episode. We're going to look at some character development issues and pick things apart a little more closely here. But first, we've had some developments since we last recorded, just some general things. I think we've seen a little bit more of Resistance so far. We have casting information on The Mandalorian. We have not a whole lot about Celebration yet. We've got the announcement of some authors and stuff. But given that it's our 100th episode, I kind of wanted to get a sense of your feelings about the state of Star Wars as it stands right now. And while the two of you think about that, because I'm springing this on you unprepared, you guys didn't know I was going to do this to you, which makes it all the more fun. But while you're thinking it over, I'll give a few thoughts I had real quick. I know that for longtime Star Wars fans, it's very easy to get excited about big things sometimes. And then people also have time periods where their interest kind of wanes a little bit. And that's natural. I think a lot of Star Wars fans have had that happen. And sometimes people just kind of get out of Star Wars entirely, but it seems like more often it kind of goes through a period where it falls flat a little bit and then it resurges again and it comes back. And I know that since The Force Awakens, but especially since The Last Jedi, there have been a lot of Star Wars fans whose interest has kind of dipped a little bit. But now that we're getting more content, some people, it's coming back. But then I've also noticed that for some people, after Resistance, feeling like a little bit of a letdown, it's kind of dipped. So a lot of people seem to be going through a bit of a roller coaster right now with their Star Wars fandom, and it doesn't seem to be synchronized with one another. So I was kind of wondering where you guys are at with Star Wars. What are you looking forward to most? What are you not really caring about? Where do things stand as Star Wars fans for the two of you?
That's a really good questions. Yeah. What I'm feeling when I look out at social media, what I feel in Discord and in our community there is that a lot of people were either not turned off, but just turned down from episode 8. Then Solo came and went, and because it didn't really impact the story as a whole, even though they enjoyed it, it didn't really spike their interest in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Resistance as well. I'm getting a lot of feeling that, it's a Star Wars show. Just there's not a lot of Star Wars feel to the show. So people just aren't interested in watching it either. I think a lot of people are really excited for episode 9 to come out. Obviously, that's going to be in about a year's time. So that will be huge, but we still have a year to go. So what do we do in the meantime? Personally, where I've turned my focus is to, I've gotten back into the Old Republic.
Mm, yes.
And I haven't played in about 4 years. Mm-hmm. So there's been a handful, like 6 expansions since I last played. We were talking off mic that I left the game just shortly before the player housing came in.
Mm-hmm.
So just right after the Starfighter expansion. So now that I'm back in, there's a lot of really good content that I've been catching up on. I'm really excited to play.
Yeah. I missed that game. We were talking about this offline, like you said, and I am looking forward to my next day off work because I think I'm going to install it and try playing again. I had one single complaint about the game, and I imagine that it still rings true, and that is for an MMO, it is so easy to solo the game that it doesn't really give people that much of an incentive to group up. So unlike some games like WoW, where if you want to run through the entire story, well, WoW has gotten a little more solo friendly too over the years though. But I had a hard time finding a sense of community with other players in Old Republic, just based on the fact that everybody could so easily go off and do their own thing in the game, which is also a strength of the game too. But you almost have to form your communities outside of the game and bring them in. And that's where I've seen a lot of the guilds pop up and things like that. It seems to be less of people meeting one another in the game.
If you're looking for just the story content, yes, you can solo the entire thing and you will love it and you will enjoy it. Mm-hmm. If you want to dive deeper, there's the flashpoints, there's the raids, and those you have to group up.
Yes.
So the way they've done it is there's different ways of getting the end game content or the best content in the game. You could either do it through the flashpoints, you could do it through the operations, you could do it through a lot of different solo pieces, and then you get tradable items that will turn in, like you collect 500 of these certain item, mm-hmm. like unassembled parts, then you could trade in those 500 parts for one epic level piece of equipment.
Yeah, when you say end game content, you mean gear specifically. Yeah, you're not talking storylines and stuff.
Right, yeah. So I'm talking about, there's two different sides of that as well. There's the player versus player side, and then there's the player versus environment side, so the story side. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm going to be going after now that I've reached the max level.
Cool. I really love that game. If people haven't checked it out before, I think that, I mean, my understanding from people who play is that it still holds up really well. The expansions, apparently the storylines have been really good. There's a lot of content there.
The new big expansions that they've come out with are just absolutely phenomenal. They explore the outer regions, and there's a whole new faction, which is just really amazing to play through. And just the twists and turns that it puts you through is just out of this world.
I'm going to have to get into that. I'm really looking forward to it. But, you know, so that's a really good point, though, is that I think it's important to remind people that you can find enjoyment in being a Star Wars fan in a lot of different ways. And so if you're disillusioned with Resistance is the main thing at the moment, as far as new ongoing content, we haven't seen The Mandalorian yet. There's a long gap right now between Solo and Episode 9. There are other things that you can still do that are Star Wars that are really good content that other fans are also partaking in which you can find a community and have fun. And I think Old Republic, I think this would be a great time to get back into it.
One of the nice things they've done in game as well is if you are a higher level or not at the same level as a friend, let's say is a lower level, you couldn't really group with them and make it fun.
Right.
What they've done now is they will say you're level 70, which is the max level, and Eric, say you're starting on the new planet and you're level 1. Mm-hmm. If I come join you on the new planet, I will come and I'll be, they'll downshift my character to be level specific to group with you.
Good, good.
So I could still have fun, gain experience while I'm playing with you and helping you do your storyline.
Excellent.
Which is pretty neat.
Yeah, I think if anybody wants to play, they should contact us and maybe we can see about grouping up with some of our listeners in game.
Yeah, that's one thing I was been rattling around in my mind is, do we create a guild or do we start a new one or do we join an existing one? But I think that would
I think we might still have an existing one from years ago. I don't know if it's still, like, if they shut it down if you haven't played the game in a while, but we used to have a guild. Yeah. We used to have one for light side and dark side.
Yeah. I used to have my own guild as well. And when I spun my character back up, I noticed my character was transferred to a new server. Mm-hmm. They did some merges and I lost my guild. So,
okay. Yeah.
It may be there, may not be, depending on.
And guilds may be server specific too, because it depends on the membership within that guild. So yeah, once you move servers, the guild probably disappears.
Yeah.
Well, we could, I wonder what happens to the stuff in the guild bank.
That's a good question.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we should look into that. I think we should set something up. But anyway, so that's a really good point that I think that it's important to remind people of. There are still lots of different ways to enjoy Star Wars. But Andrea, where are you at? What's your take on the current state of Star Wars fandom?
There is still a lot of things that I need to catch up on in terms of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I actually just finished season 5 of Clone Wars.
Oh, good.
And good. I really, really love the ending of it with Ahsoka. So I'm really looking forward to continuing that series. So again, there's still so much new stuff that I still have not seen, which still excites me and like makes me want to continue in the universe. To be honest, with Resistance, I've kind of reached like this point where, yes, I still have to catch up on the episodes, but it's not like, oh, let's just do it really quickly because I need to. And it kind of sucks because I don't want to feel like that with any show that I watch, but I've just gone to the point where I will watch it because I need to record about it. And I'm hoping that when I watch the new final episodes, I will be okay with it. But we haven't been getting a lot of good feedback on it. A lot of the feedback that we get that is positive is from the people that do have younger children. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty neat. But a lot of the negative feedback or the things that people don't like do reflect on my own perspective on the show. We're not going to talk about it right now because we do have other episodes to record about Resistance. Mm-hmm. When it comes to The Mandalorian, I'm really, really excited for how they're going to shape it up. They've already, I think, announced who the Mandalorian is. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting.
You mean as far as cast-wise?
Yes, and I think the actual character itself. So that's exciting. Aside from that, am I looking forward to the last movie that's coming out next year? Is it next year?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Not really.
Okay. I'm
and that's scared.
Fine. There are a lot of people to feel that way. A lot.
I'm very nervous about how it's going to go down, how they're going to close the whole entire trilogy. Mm-hmm. I think when the first teaser trailer comes out, maybe that will spike my interest. But right now I'm very nervous because the last two movies have not, like The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, have not been my favorite. So mm-hmm. I'm just waiting to see how this one pans out.
Yeah, a lot of people are worried about that. I can share some of that concern too. I really liked The Force Awakens. And The Last Jedi, there were things I really liked about it and really hated about it at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that made it kind of difficult to get too excited about it. I think a lot of people have faith that J.J. Abrams will bring it back to where it needs to be.
Right.
And I'm very hopeful about that. My concern is less about the overall quality of episode 9, because I have faith in Abrams. I've always been a big Abrams fan. My concern is more that there's a lot to do. I feel like he has a lot that he has to fix. Fix is not the right word, because it's not so much that episode 8 was broken. a lot of stuff he has to cover and that he has to get to in order to bring satisfying resolutions to a lot of the storylines. So he's got a lot of work.
And I feel like that was the problem with those last two movies, is that there was a lot of loose ends that now have to be tied in the last one. So that's why we've had the discussion of whether it's going to be a two-parter movie, because are they going to be able to close all those loose ends and make it seem like everything ties in nicely, or is it just going to be sped up and people are going to be left unsatisfied because everything just needed to happen ABC instead of it having a natural flow?
And I'm very much a proponent of the splitting the movies if they need to, because when you look back at the prequels, my biggest complaint, and the complaint of a lot of people, all of the complaints can be tied back to the fact that George Lucas tried to cram too much story into just those last two movies in the trilogy. He even admitted he had like 5 hours worth of story content to try to cram into episode three, and he just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to complain if there's more content, guys.
Right. Right.
Just take your time, do it right.
There are some people who are sticklers about the trilogy word. And it's like, well, you can't have a trilogy if you have four movies. And I understand that. I understand the systematic approach to things. But save the story.
Yes, I'm not going to complain if there's more content if it's not to milk it. If it's just right. to milk it and just to extend a storyline, then I hate when people do that. But if it's because there's so much that needs to be covered that they need to extend it to fully kind of give all the Star Wars fans some closure, then I am okay with that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And then aside from TV shows, movies, and all that stuff, I have been playing The Old Republic, and that's been so much fun. I was telling...
you get to kill people, and it's Star Wars!
Well, I was... Okay, so...
It's like Andrea coming home to the mothership.
No, I know! Okay, so... Outside of recording, we should have really recorded the story. I was playing with Fred, and there I was so into the game, and we had just finished a mission. We just killed a bunch of people, and that just makes me so happy when I run off, and he's like, "Andrea, where are you going?" And I'm like, "Die, everyone!" Anyways, so I was like full of adrenaline. I was ready for the next mission, and then all of a sudden, Fred on Discord, he's like, "Andrea, what's the sound of a party?" And I'm so into the game that I just say shotgun, not really thinking of what he's saying. So I'm saying like, "The sound of a party is the sound of a shotgun." And he cracks open a can and he's like, "Wait, what?" And I was like, "I'm not psycho, Andrea, I promise."
Andrea.
Oh, and it was really funny. But
yeah, it makes that whole "I'm not psycho" argument a little bit more difficult to pull off. Yeah.
In game, if there's a ruthless option, Andrea clicks it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you and Lou would get along famously.
It's then there's another instance where, like, obviously I'm the female character. And
see, I was going to say, Lou will space the people just to complete a chore faster. Andrea will stab them first and then space them.
Oh, no. But let's be honest. Lou doesn't do it just for efficiency. Lou does it because he wants to see them spaced. He doesn't stab them first, though. So that is true. So Andrea gets points for that. Psycho points, but it's still points.
What I was going to say is that, okay, so because we join up and then he has his own storyline and I have my own storyline, Fred is a huge flirt when it comes to his character. It's really funny to see.
If there's a flirt option, I just have to.
For those who don't know the game, there actually is a flirt option in a lot of the conversation threads. So,
It kills me. But it's funny because there was one time we were in a group and I had the choice to kill one of the people that he kissed. And I killed her.
Andrea.
And he was like, "Hey, why did you just kill her?" And I was like, "This is what happens when you cheat on me."
Wow, jealousy issues.
It was really funny. We have a lot of fun. And we were actually talking today about probably like streaming eventually.
Yeah.
Just because we have such funny moments within the game.
We'll have to talk because I've got a sheet of paper over there with a plan. Regarding streaming.
Plans to the Death Star or?
No. Plans that hopefully won't get blown up by a single missile.
Perfect.
But you know, we do have a Random Chatter Network channel on Twitch. And I may be getting some equipment soon it's the last piece I need before I start streaming. And then if you guys were streaming, we could actually get going with the Random Chatter video stuff. Yeah,
that sounds pretty cool.
Very.
I'm definitely down for that.
I promise that my psycho is only in game.
Well, I think some of our listeners know otherwise. Yeah, another argument that I think you'd be hard pressed to succeed at getting across there. For me personally, I think that I'm looking forward to episode 9. I'm looking forward to The Mandalorian because I've wanted an adult live action Star Wars TV series for so long, and I have faith in the people who are attached to this project so far. Resistance, I want to like it. Mm-hmm. The artwork doesn't bother me. The characters don't bother me, even though I know for some of them do. The setting itself, it doesn't necessarily bother me that it's fixed. It's stationary. But it does skew a little young. That's not a bad thing. I think, as you said, people who have kids seem to really like it. And I think it's okay to have Star Wars content that does skew a little younger. I think we've gotten spoiled to having our animated series start out a little younger and then start to skew upward very quickly.
Oh, they get so dark. Yeah. I was like, I don't think I would want some of my kids to watch this.
Now, Andrea, without getting too far into it, if you look at the end of Clone Wars versus the first season, it's gotten a lot more mature than it had been.
Oh, definitely. Like some of the content and some of the ideas that are behind some of the stories, I question how this is still a kids show.
Yeah. Not because of anything gratuitous, but just, you know, the betrayal and the.
Some of the deaths too, they just shock you and you're like, oh my gosh, they actually showed those things. So they're interesting.
Yeah. And Rebels, I think, skewed up fairly quickly too. I mean, you've still got these, this group is being persecuted and they're rising up against their persecutors. And with Resistance, people are hanging out at a gas station racing their cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's American Graffiti, not even in space, you know, on a planet in the ocean. So I think it's one of those things where it doesn't matter. It's like everything people complained about the Solo movie in a TV show. It doesn't fit into anything. It doesn't further the overall story, at least not so far. It's a fun distraction, but it's merely a distraction. It doesn't really feel like it means much.
Right.
Now, it's still early, and I'm still watching, and I'm not... That's not a complaint. That's an acknowledgement of why people aren't connecting with it very well. So, and speaking of Solo, I like Solo more each time I watch it. I still really like the Solo movie. Again. The more I watch it, the more I like it.
It's definitely a really enjoying and compelling story. It just has no meaning on the entire galaxy.
Right.
So it doesn't change the story at all. So that's why I think not a lot of people are interested in watching it. So I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I have very few complaints about that movie.
Mm-hmm. When we get content that does matter, it makes it a lot easier to handle the content that doesn't matter. It makes it more palatable.
Have you picked up the novel for it yet?
I did. Yes, and I was surprised. Merle Lafferty, I think, did a really good job with it.
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. Mm-hmm. Not going to spoil anything, but there were some nice nuggets that were handed out in that one that kind of fill in some gaps there. So
some important nuggets, yes. I think.
And I think that would have been really helpful to have that in the movie, but they must have been cut or otherwise.
Yeah, I especially liked the whole thing about the Millennium Falcon having a droid brain all of this time, and we didn't know it for the last 30 or 40 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that really bugged me, but the novel kind of fixed that for me. Yep. That was one small scene in particular. And there were a handful of scenes like that that gave just a little bit of insight that really added a lot to some specific moments without giving spoilers or anything. But I think the book was definitely, it was well written. It was a good supplement for the movie, and I would recommend it. And like Absolutely. You said, I think it was a good story overall.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's get into talking The Force Awakens. We need to take a look at Kylo Ren. We need to take a look at Rey. There may be some other characters, and if there are any other characters you guys want to look at, let's bring those up as well. But first, let's get the easy one out of the way. Let's talk Captain Phasma. Captain Phasma was teased as this really important character and played by Gwendolyn Christie, who was coming off of Game of Thrones as yes. a very prominent character there. Everybody was really excited. And, you know, for the 4.5 seconds of screen time that she got, she did really well.
What a disappointment.
Yes. Yeah.
Like such huge buildup and just all these side stories and the special armor just for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they were trying to do the Boba Fett thing. Oh, here's this mysterious, visually appealing character that we're going to throw mm-hmm. in the background. And you're going to think it's cool when they show up, but we're going to make it mysterious by not telling you anything and not really using the character very much. Well, then you can't hype it. It's like when you try to make something a meme on the internet, then you're probably going to fail to make it a meme. It has to just happen naturally. And I think that's kind of the trap they fell into here.
It's like when Time Magazine puts collector edition on the front cover, but
right.
just because it says so, it doesn't make it so.
And then they print 8 million copies. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think Phasma, now to be fair, the extracurricular content that I've read so far, I've liked. I liked the Phasma novel. I understand Fantastic. Some complaints like Lou felt like yeah. it didn't really feel like Star Wars. And I think that it had to do with the environment and the setting, but I still liked it anyway. It felt kind of yeah. Mad Max-ish to me.
Well, it gives you a little bit of insight of where the armor comes from without spoiling it.
True.
And that, I think was enough to sell me on the book. Just where that came from and how she got it and what events led to her getting that, mm-hmm. I think made a huge difference.
But then we get into the point where it's like, do I really have to read the novels in order to enjoy the character? Because I will read the novels. I don't have a problem doing that. Yeah. But it sucks for the people that don't want to and they just want to know based on what they see. So that's yeah. where it kind of becomes problematic. It's like you tease me with such a awesome looking character and with this awesome actress and you do her a disservice.
Well, I think
by
though,
throwing her into a trash compactor. I mean,
like, yeah. Which by the way, they should have actually shown. I think though, the book isn't necessary to the character. If you don't read the book, you're not losing anything out. It doesn't add anything to what we've seen directly. It doesn't fill in scenes from the film or anything like that. It's all purely backstory and it's enjoyable backstory, but you can skip it. Yep. So in that regard, I'm not upset about them putting good content into the book and, you know, if people are missing out if they don't read it. Well, but it's so optional and so tangential that I feel like it's okay in this case. But they definitely did the character a disservice by not including more in the movie. And then likewise, and we'll talk about this when we get to The Last Jedi, but kind of lather, rinse, and repeat for Last Jedi.
Yep. For the book, it seemed to make it even worse. Like they just built it up in the book just so much more that made her short appearance in The Force Awakens that much worse. Like they had so much power with that one character, they could have leveraged so much more.
It made apparent the missed opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they did the same thing, like you said, Eric, in the Last Jedi. It was just like, oh, she's back. Finally, we get something.
No, oh, wait, no, she's
bye.
Not.
Never mind. Yeah.
and watch her come back again for the episode 9.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to, I was going to say move on to the big one, but there's a bit of debate. Is the big one here as far as character issues, is it Rey or is it Kylo Ren? Oof.
Wait, before we get to those,
yeah.
What if we go to Leia? Before we get to Rey, before we get to Kylo, okay. I wanted to get your thoughts on the whole entire discussion about Leia hugging Rey instead of Chewie. Because I know that that's something that a lot of people were really upset about. And then the director actually came back and was like, oh, yeah, I kind of regret making this decision. So what are your thoughts about that after Han dies?
See, it never really bothered me that much. To me, it feels precariously close to fan service. There are things in Star Wars where people feel like you have to do X. And to me, there was a discussion with Leia and Finn when Finn was trying to get them all to go rescue Rey. Mm-hmm. And there was an indication there that Leia understood how important Rey was. Then Rey comes back, Han's died. Leia is force sensitive. Rey is highly force sensitive. I just assumed that there was some sort of an unspoken moment where almost like not a telepathic bond, but like an empathic bond where the two of them just kind of connected for a moment and hugged each other. I'm sure Leia also then went up and hugged Chewie. We just didn't need to see it on screen. I mean, Chewie not getting the medal at the end of A New Hope, I think, was a bigger deal, because it's not like they went back and had a second ceremony later or something. Like, in this case, you could totally believe that after the camera pans away, she walked up and said, oh, hey, Chewie, give me a hug. You know, so it's not that big a deal to me. I guess to me it was the sense that obviously something's wrong. Han has passed. Chewie just walked past Leia anyway. It's not like it's all on Leia. I mean, Chewie owns as much of this as Leia does. But I just thought Rey and Leia had a little moment of connection, probably through the Force. And I don't know. It didn't bother me at all.
When I first watched it, it didn't bother me at all. It's when everybody started talking about it afterwards. It's like, oh, yeah, that didn't happen. Oh, well.
Yeah.
I didn't really care. Like,
it's interesting, though. Finish what you were about to say before.
Well, I was just going to say, yeah, like, I second what Eric says, is that obviously Leia and Chewbacca have a huge history together, and they would have their moment. Yeah, it wasn't on screen, but not everything needs to be on screen, I guess.
But then you're assuming that that's what happened. I personally feel like the last two movies have kind of, I think maybe I'm going to use this word for lack of better one, disrespected the original characters. And I think that I can go into it a little bit more when we talk about The Last Jedi. I just feel like Chewie has always been treated like a dog. And in The Last Jedi, he's treated like a babysitter. And I don't like it. There's so much potential for that character. And I don't know, maybe because I am reading the novels. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much to that character that is not portrayed in the movies. And he's treated like a dog. Like, he's just kind of like a backpack, and that's it.
I want to throw something in here, because you bring up, so first of all, the overall disrespect, we'll come back to that. I know you still have more to say on that, and that's a very common complaint. But about Chewbacca specifically, a few things. First of all, Fred can relate to this. We have been having Chewbacca be a backpack for decades and decades and decades of expanded universe novels now. Far
and
worse.
We talked about it in the first part of this Force Awakens discussion.
But I mean, he had more screen time in The Last Jedi and more, not autonomous, more Well, more autonomy in his actions. Like, he was less about playing off of someone else and more about, you know, he's there with the Falcon and with the Porgs and with, like, he's got some of his own moments for once. So I could probably, I'll have to look at the movie again to see if I truly feel this way or not after rewatching it. But I think I could probably make an argument that he has more autonomy in The Last Jedi than in some other movies. But if you go all the way back to the beginning, he's always been treated like a dog. And part of it's because he doesn't speak. And part of it's because he's the thug, right? I mean, he's the muscle. So part of it is also the stereotype of his role combined with the fact that he's effectively mute as far as dialogue mm-hmm. goes. But you're right. Chewbacca is tragically underused. And actually has a character there underneath all of that that I think we need to see more of.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just feel like if there would have been that scene, and I don't think it's based on story. I think it was just the directing of this, like, of the movie itself. If they would have shown that, it's still part of that character. You see him suffer as soon as Han gets lightsabered.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, why not portray that with Leia? The only thing, as soon as Han gets lightsabered, you see her kind of like stop what she's doing and she kind of feels like something has happened. Why not show more of that? Like, I don't know, her like supporting herself with something, because it's that deep of that connection that she has. I feel like the relationship between these characters, it's so undermined. It doesn't show all the struggles that they went through in the original trilogies. And I wish that they would have, I know, and I'm going to say this, I wish they would have shown that a little bit, but I know that this is Rey's story. I know that right. this is Finn. I know that this is Poe. So they didn't want to center it around these characters, but that does not mean that they can just like brush them aside or shove them under the carpet in a way that does not give them some form of purpose, some form of humanity. So that's kind of like my biggest issue. I know that they're not at the forefront of The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi, and I don't expect them to be, but I also don't expect them to be kind of like shoved to the side as if they didn't matter.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest struggles that they have with that is how much time they can use in a movie. If they're going to tell both stories, the Luke, Han, Leia story, or Chewbacca as well, and the new kid story, it's not going to fit in a 2.5-hour movie.
No, it's not.
It might not fit in a 3.
And every time you focus on one of the originals, you are actively distracting from the new characters that you want the focus to be on.
So that's why there's kind of like no win-win situation in this case. This is what I would want, but.
And I think just stepping back, and maybe Eric can relate to this as well, is we have so much added, expanded universe legends in our minds that it didn't really affect us as much because we have that story that we're leaning on
mm-hmm. yeah.
With the original people, that the new stories is like, okay, let's just focus on them. So maybe we're a little bit jaded in that regard.
Yeah, maybe. Yep. I could see that. I think that it does come back to screen time and where you want the focus. And to be mm-hmm. fair, I think that I'm not a big fan of exposition in general, but I think that the conversation between Han and Leia before Han went off to Starkiller Base, I thought caught us up on enough in a right. believable way that I felt like we got some good story content there. I was satisfied with that. I think it all comes back to expectations.
Yeah.
People went into The Force Awakens expecting more content about the original three. And we got quite a bit of Han. We got very little of Leia. And we got almost no Luke at all. And I think that that bothered people and it didn't fit with their expectations. And I think that people have had a hard time moving past that, and with that's fair, with good reason. But it's been hard for people to move past those expectations they had going in. And then it gets even further exacerbated with what we see in Luke's character in The Last Jedi. I loved it. I loved all the scenes with Luke in The Last Jedi, and we'll get to this next episode. But some people, you know, I mean, there's a whole hashtag, that's not my Luke. Like, it was...
I might have tweeted something like that.
Big deal. So no, the treatment of the originals.
I'm really interested about that.
Yeah, that's been a big point of contention with these movies so far. But what about Rey? What about, let's talk about Rey for a little bit. There have been a lot of different opinions on, is she a Mary Sue? Does she fit as a character? Her use of the Force and her Force abilities and the explanations that then have been presented. She's not without some controversy and without some lack of acceptance. Did Rey work for you as a protagonist?
For me, I think... one of the things that I criticize the Rey character with is how fast she learns the Force. Yes. And she seems to go from 0 to 100, able to wield a lightsaber like she's been doing it for years.
Yeah. And there have been some arguments presented. So number one, her use of melee weapons, she has that staff when she's on Jakku, and she seems to be pretty skilled with it. So some sort of basic understanding of melee fighting, she already has that going in. So, okay, I'll give her that a little bit. Number two, it's not like she was Anakin or Obi-Wan or Darth Maul. I mean, she held her own, but she held her own against a young kid himself who was also injured.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's not like she showed a lot of skill with it. And then there's also the explanation, I think it's from the novel, where when Kylo Ren went to interrogate her and to get stuff out of her mind, she got stuff out of his as well. It was kind of a cross-contamination there. And that was supposed to have been how she had these insights about, I mean, it wasn't until immediately after that where she manages to convince the stormtrooper to let her go. It's after that that she realizes she can tap into the Force. And it's almost like he has to remind her, oh, wait a minute, I can do that, to then start using the lightsaber effectively.
So it's like she's learning these abilities like Neo does in The Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Yeah, interesting.
And so then the question now becomes, is that a satisfactory answer? Is it sufficient? To me, it is. To a lot of people, it's not. And then, of course, there's also the fact that because it's not explained in the movie or overtly indicated that she got anything from Kylo Ren, is it a valid explanation? Like, yeah, it might be accurate, but you broke the storytelling by not telling that part of the story.
And again, I think if they went through the whole 80s training montage... that
with the Rocky music.
Yeah.
With the Rocky music. That we just don't have the time for it either. So maybe they should just stop doing 2-hour movies and do a 24 1-hour episode season.
Yes.
And call that The Force Awakens. I'd be okay
like
with that.
So why don't we hold off Rey's lineage for The Last Jedi, because that was something I think that was, people were interested in it in this one and concerned about it, and then it really exploded in the next movie. So let's come back to that later. I'm trying to think of what else about Rey. I mean, the main controversial thing about Rey really seemed to be her use of the Force. Is there anything else about Rey, character development wise, that either really stood out to you as good or bad or confusing?
I like Rey. She's an interesting character who has a lot of the things that she would do very like, oh, convenient. Oh, you know how to do this. Whoopee-doo. Yes. Yeah. But if I don't want to dive too deep into it, I will overlook it and I'll be like, oh, she's just a badass girl that can do this. I mean, the flying right. was something that Fred had mentioned in the last part of this episode. Mm-hmm. The fighting, just her ability to pick up on the Force so quickly. Those are just things that, again, if I go in a magnifying glass and look at it, then I'll have problems with it. But she's an interesting character in The Last Jedi. There will be more of a discussion about Rey herself. Yeah.
And we have to keep in mind, too, this is a space fantasy.
Exactly.
So, it's fiction. It's fantasy fiction. It's supposed to be a little bit over the top. It's supposed to be a little extreme isn't the word I'm looking for, but embellished. And if you look back at Luke as well, here's a kid that's on a farm, has done nothing his whole life. And all of a sudden, like, he's the best pilot in the world. It doesn't take him long to become really good with the lightsaber mm-hmm. either.
Now, do you think that the problems lie because there were so many parallels between A New Hope and The Force Awakens that people were like, why are you just recycling the same kind of story, just putting in a female instead of a male, and then having all these like R2-D2's BBA, blah, blah, blah? Because that's another thing that a lot of people have complained about.
That's
is that
point.
There are so many parallels. Is that the reason why people are so pissed about this?
It is
that,
a okay, reason.
We already have Luke that, like you said, he knows how to fly. He knows how to use the Force. It's so easy to him. Okay. And yeah, he does have to practice. So
my question to you, to play devil's advocate, is let's get rid of spaceships. Let's get rid of the Force. Let's get rid of lightsabers. Let's get rid of droids. What do we have? A rom-com? Oh, wait, that was in Empire.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, I think that that's where a lot of people are upset about it, is that it's just recycled stuff.
But I don't feel that way at all. I think they did.
I don't either.
Like, I think that you're absolutely correct that this is something that has it exploded. Like, that was a major complaint people had. It's not just a reboot of episode 4. It's not the same thing. And if you look at some of the similarities and parallels, they're not ripoffs. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have this character who is alone and abandoned without family. And I guess in this case, you could have Han being the Obi-Wan role in the wise old wizard sort of thing, but he doesn't really teach her anything. So that's not really the case. You have Finn. There's no analog for Finn in A New Hope. There are so many ways in which it is very, very different. And the ways in which it's similar go back to Joseph Campbell's Man of a Thousand Faces and the mythology, which has been rehashed in nearly right. every piece of modern fiction ever. So you can't call that a ripoff either.
I think the biggest complaint was Starkiller Base. If we took if we took that super weapon, Death Star 3, out of the picture, I don't think we would have the same problem.
We wouldn't even be talking about it. Yes. No, the Starkiller Base thing, like, even I had a problem with. And then the briefing room. No, this is like the Death Star, but bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, just that, even that section of dialogue, it was like, oh my gosh, you guys are really trying way too hard here. Starkiller Base, I think, was the biggest embarrassment of that film easily. And I don't know that it's the biggest, but one of the biggest of the trilogy so far.
Well, it's like the Death Star, but it doesn't move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just didn't get it.
Starkiller Base. I'm like, I don't even want to talk about it. But then we have to talk about it because this is the episode where we talk about it. It's horrible. It is a horrible thing. I love The Force Awakens. Don't get me wrong. I really, really do. I enjoy the hell out of The Force Awakens. I love it. Starkiller Base is crap.
Yeah.
It's the one thing in the movie that I wish they could take out and do something else. And I mean, make it a Borg cube for all I care. Just make it square instead of round. Like, do something different. I get that it's a planet instead of being man-made, but I mean, basically, they gut the planet and turn the insides into a big power repository, and like it's still basically just a big Death Star.
Yeah. Well, they could have done other things. They could have done like a new weapon that ignores shields and just rips the fleet apart. There could have been so many other options that were just...
There was another super weapon that was pulled from the script that did we talk about it? The one where there's a big space battle as well and all of the ships get obliterated. They basically, yes, the rebels have to hit, yes, the nuclear button and it just wipes out both fleets. Mm-hmm.
But it was too dark.
Yeah.
I think that's, yeah.
It was a little bit too dark. Plus, I mean, it would have been a lot more time in the movie. The special effects would have been more expensive. It makes sense why they cut it. But at least it would have been something different. It would have been a super weapon that we haven't seen used before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was a big round ball that shoots out a big laser. Literally, it's the same. Okay, so it's not laser. It's, I don't know, plasma or whatever it is. But like, it's still the same thing. All right, Kylo Ren.
Baby. I thought we were playing that game. You say a word, I say a word. Oh,
word association.
I was like, what?
Yeah, no. I got nothing. I mean, that's basically it. Baby, it would be a good Pepper response. Tantrum. He is so immature that he does not come across as a compelling villain to me. I know they were doing that on purpose because J.J. Abrams specifically wanted to demonstrate character development and character progression on behalf of the villain.
Yep.
As opposed to just the protagonist. So often in fiction, we see the journey of the protagonist, but the villain is already the villain. Like, there's no difference in Darth Vader from, in theory,
yep,
from A New Hope through almost all the way to the end of Return of the Jedi. In most fiction series, it's just the villain's the villain. He wanted to do something different, but I think he made him a little bit too flawed and too immature to the point where even now I'm having a really hard time getting into him as the main villain. He doesn't seem like a threat. If you just piss him off enough, he'll just flail around and you could basically just walk off in the other direction and he might not even notice you for all of the things he's throwing around the room. Like, his maturity level is so embarrassing.
I think that the biggest mistake in The Force Awakens was us getting a face reveal. I thought he was, even though he had his temper tantrums, with his mask and with his voice change, I could have given him a chance.
Yeah.
I think that Adam Driver, as an actor, his facial expressions are what caused them to be like, let's just do a face reveal because we can do a lot with his face and with his emotions. There's a lot of moments when he's talking to Han that you're like, oh my gosh, is he actually going to follow his father? And you can see the struggle, yeah, in his face. But I feel like if they would have just captured his eyes, if they would have not revealed his whole entire face, you would have still had that kind of sense of, yes, there is still that immaturity, but there is also that power. The fact that he removes his mask just because Rey tells him to, it was kind of like, I don't know, have you guys seen Shrek 2?
Yes, yeah, I'm not saying I remember it, but
when Prince Charming takes off his helmet and he like waves his golden locks, that's how I felt Kylo Ren was introduced when they do the face reveal. It was so cringy. I didn't like it. I felt like that character just crumbled as soon as he removed his mask off. It would have been really cool if in The Last Jedi, when Snoke is kind of telling him that his attire is kind of ridiculous and he should remove the mask, if we would have gotten the reveal there, we would have been like, oh snap, look how young this kid is. And yeah. It would have made so much more sense as to why he's so damn immature and why he acts the way that he is. But build him up to be such a scary presence in the first one, because, again, he just acted so immaturely. And again, Adam Driver has such a baby face. And although he is able to express himself really well and his emotions, it just took away from the scariness that built up at the very beginning when he's with Poe and he's stopping the blaster fire and all that stuff. So that's my biggest thing with Kylo. It's taken a little bit of time for me to just enjoy him.
I think that whole letdown, so to speak, was intentional as far as revealing a more human side of him. The Adam Driver baby face thing, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a guy, I don't like, but like it didn't really faze me too much. I think it was more, we get all the masks for all the villains in Star Wars and here's one taking off the mask, and I think that to me it felt a little bit more of a metaphor. We were getting to see what's under the skin of this villain, which, again, I think is exactly what Abrams wanted. He wanted us to get inside the villain's head a little bit and to see that the villain was conflicted. And, I mean, to some extent, being abused by Snoke. And that Abrams wanted to show us Kylo Ren progressing into a true villain, like crossing that threshold, feeling like he needed to cross the threshold, even though he was conflicted about it. And I think that that actually works in that scene with him and Han. The doublespeak in the dialogue there, like we are supposed to all be seeing it the way Han would see it. But if you look at it the way Kylo Ren is saying it, it's like, I need to do something and I don't know if I have the strength to do it.
Yeah.
And that is to kill you, kill my father, kill the one emotional attachment I have that's holding me to the light because I have to cross over to the dark, but I'm too weak. Will you help me? And then Han is like, well, of course. So you look back at Kylo Ren's dialogue and it fits what we then know Kylo Ren is going through. But superficially, we look at it from Han's point of view.
One of the things I really enjoyed from his character was the Vader worship. The scene with the helmet that's burnt. And he's speaking to his grandfather. I thought that was just really, it really lended to the point of view of where he's going and what he's after.
While I don't know how compelling a villain he is, I do like him as a character. And I like the scenes with him talking to Vader. And I like the progression. He's not ready to be a villain in this movie.
No.
Snoke was the villain. Hux was the villain. Yep. Kylo Ren was becoming a villain. And even into episode 8, I feel like it's not really until the end when he becomes a villain, like the very end. And even then he's still so reactionary that I don't know how much of a threat he really is.
Well, that's one of my big questions for 9 is who's going to be the villain. Cause clearly he's not ready.
Right.
No, he's too conflicted.
And even if he goes into episode 9, fully committed and a complete badass, and I am the most evil person who has ever lived in this entire universe, Palpatine's got nothing on me, it's too late. Like, well, we needed to see that early on, because now we know that your storyline is going to get resolved and you're either going to be killed or redeemed. So waiting until now to become the bad guy, it's too late. We needed it at least by episode 8. And I think they tried to in 8, but much like with Poe, I feel like they kind of reverted back to the characters making a bunch of mistakes. Episode 8 seems to be all about people learning from their mistakes, whether it be Rey or Luke or Finn or Poe or Kylo Ren. Not so much Phasma. But, and I think there are some important story themes to be taken from episode 8, but I think when it comes to Kylo Ren overall, he's just not there yet.
No. I'll be curious what's going to happen with 9. I'm really looking forward to how they're going to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Are they going to bring in a new mastermind, or are they going to develop him further, or is there going to be something completely complete surprise?
Well, I think something they're going to have to do, and this is not a spoiler or anything. I'm not reporting news here, but looking at episode 7, combined with the fact that we're getting Abrams back into it, I think we're going to see the Knights of Ren in episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That was a big question mark that a lot of people had, especially going into 8, and that didn't answer any questions, obviously.
Yeah.
So the Knights of Ren, who are they? And what does that mean going forward?
Yeah.
Do they still exist? Or did Kylo just have a temper tantrum and kill them all? Maybe.
Yeah. But I mean, show us that then. If you throw something like that into a flashback in The Force Awakens, I kind of feel like it's intentional foreshadowing. You have to take it somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. So it's definitely a huge question mark that's lingering over this trilogy.
Yeah. Not the big one. I think Rey's parentage is probably the one thing that people are up in arms about the most. But the Knights of Ren, I think, is the most glaring omission. I think people don't like what has been revealed so far about Rey's parents, but I think that the Knights of Ren are probably the biggest issue that has just gone entirely untouched.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
You got a year?
It's probably much a year from like this week.
Yeah.
It's going to be Christmas again.
Yeah.
Yes. Didn't he know?
Yes. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge.
So, and that's another rough thing too. They kind of got us used to this one release a year sort of thing, and now we've got this year and a half gap and might go back to longer gaps again now. So I'm wondering how much that's affected the state of fandom as well, given that things didn't end on a good note if you look at the fan community. And so to have this big, long pause, you want it to be like when they released the trailer, like people excited and, oh, I can't wait for episode 9. And then there's a year and a half pause. Instead, what they got was, oh my gosh, this thing's going down the tubes. And then there's a year and a half of people lingering on that thought. I don't think that's what Lucasfilm wanted.
Well, they do have resistance. They do have all this other news for the other TV shows that are coming out. Yeah, it's a year and a half gap to get the ship righted again, but that's okay. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah.
There's enough content to keep the boat going forward.
And going off of that, I really, like, I'm saying, like, oh, these two weren't my favorite, but at the same time, like, when it comes, I'm going to be excited. Like, that doesn't take away from my love for Star Wars and me going to see it. Again, I'm always very optimistic and hopeful that they will be able to give us something that will give us closure. So I'm not too worried about that. Is it one of the top things I'm looking forward to? No, not really. There's other things in Star Wars that I'm looking forward to right now. When the time comes, I'll probably be excited for this.
Yeah. I have a hard time thinking that I won't enjoy episode 9.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really hope that they split the movies. To me, episode 8 really just felt like 7.5.
Yes.
I can't get over that. I can't wait to talk about episode 8. I mean, of all the movies we have to talk about.
My dad was pretty pissed.
He's not the only one. A lot of people were. All right. Anything else we want to talk about before we wrap up? Anything else character-wise from The Force Awakens? That
I feel like we should touch on Maz just slightly. I know we'll talk about her again when we get into 8 because she's obviously there as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there's a lot more that they should have told about her. Mm-hmm. They put a lot of trust and faith in her. Like, they showed that there's this huge background with her and Han, but yet they didn't really dive into it.
Where is my boyfriend?
Right?
Yeah. Well, it's, to be fair, of 30 years of zero content, at least it's something we got a hint about. Like, oh, hey, okay, they've made a new friend. Like, we get nothing on Luke. We get nothing on Leia, basically. It's more of a tease than it is a reveal. So you're right. Like, show us what's been going on. But I almost feel like they threw her in primarily so that they had another. I mean, they milked the cantina stuff from A New Hope so much in a good way. But we had short stories. We had explorations of all of these different races, the Rodians, the Duros, the Bith, etc. So I kind of get the feeling that Maz's castle was supposed to be a way that they could use it as a pool of different ideas for expanded universe books. And, you know, there were all the short stories that came out around the time of The Force Awakens.
Yep.
So I get it. But yeah, it introduced more questions when it's not like we had a shortage of questions already.
Mm-hmm. Like, how did she get Luke's lightsaber?
Yeah, they have to reveal that somehow.
Yeah.
I'm sure that'll probably be a future book. And I think that's going to be a must read, but yeah. I want to read it right now.
They've hinted about it a little bit through the Aftermath trilogy, I think it was, through some of the intermissions. But they still never really explained it.
Oh.
And I kind of feel like, I mean, I could come up with some pretty easy explanations for it. Just give us one.
Ooh, there's a pitch. There's a pitch.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about the pitch. We should move on to the pitch. I don't know. Maz, I think. I think she works as a character. I think it's good they included her, but I think I'm more upset about her use in episode 8 because it seemed very forced.
Yes, we'll be talking with that for sure.
Yeah.
I was really disappointed with how she was used.
Yeah. But I was okay with her in The Force Awakens, though.
They took her advice.
I don't even remember her. In that one. That's so sad.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch it again.
Yes, you will.
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, let's move along then. Do you have a movie pitch?
Oh, I think you just pitched it for yourself there, Eric. How does Maz get Luke's lightsaber?
Well...
Get set.
Wait, before you continue, do you guys see this ongoing thing where it's like people were saying that the Adams family was the one that got Luke's hand, and then Mark Hamill tweeted back and showed a picture of the chest, his hand in bone, and the lightsaber he was holding. He's like, nope, it's been with my lightsaber all along. I thought it was the funniest thing. I did not see that.
That's
another Eric had all this extra time.
Which I should have spent actually thinking of something. Now I feel like an idiot. You. Okay, so how did Maz get the lightsaber? Wow. There's 30 years worth of content there. So obviously Luke gets his hand chopped off.
Yes.
The lightsaber goes flying off of the ledge that Luke himself eventually goes flying off of. And, so it ends up spiraling off into something on the how do you describe it? The inside of that area of Cloud City. So Luke, when he falls down, he ends up kind of falling into this chute and then gets discarded out of the chute for whatever reason. He's too big. He's just not supposed to be there. The rest of the stuff, the trash and debris and all that gets filtered down into like a trash system. And the Ugnaughts end up going through and pilfering out things that can be recycled or sold for parts or things like that. And they end up finding this lightsaber, but they're Ugnaughts. They don't know what a lightsaber is. They've never seen people running around with laser swords fighting each other. That's not a thing anymore. And we all know that Ugnaughts, their lifespans are so short that most of the ones that are alive now weren't alive back then. And if you don't know how short the lifespan of an Ugnaught is, do not go look it up. I'm not just making it up right now for the sake of this pitch. Do not go check me on the internet, because that would be bad for me. So the Ugnaughts get it, and they're looking for sellers for it. And wow, you may have actually broken me here.
We win!
This one, I think, is just too vague. It's 30 years. I mean, they sell it, and then it gets tossed around, and in the end, someone doesn't know what it's worth, and Maz gets it in some sort of a deal that someone can't pay their bar tab and offers her that instead. It's too vague. I can't do it.
I'm so proud of us. Good job, Fred.
Yes,
you broke Eric.
You did it. You broke me. And in our 100th episode too, it's like, there's a milestone there. I'm so embarrassed. I feel so ashamed.
Well, to change the subject just slightly, for our 100th episode, we have been reaching out for a couple interviews, or at least one in particular. So that might be coming very soon, just to drop that little nugget for you guys.
Yeah, I owe Andrea some information on something, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can just do a search. Go to the ForceCast wiki. And it shows you. Okay.
I did.
See, you're good. You don't need me. I can't even pitch a Star Wars movie.
I know.
Right?
Get out of here.
I know,
right?
The struggle
is real.
The show is going to be just Fred and I, because, what are you worth? I don't know.
Yeah, well, hey. That one I could pitch.
No.
All right. So interviews. And this is one of my favorite people to interview.
I'm really excited that he was able to respond to me, and we're getting things on the run. Oh, yes. I'm so excited.
I know it's the holidays, so
we're waiting for the politics. Lucasfilm's got to approve it.
Yes.
Yeah. Which I don't think will be a problem. That's never been a problem before, so. But yes, it's someone that we've interviewed before on the ForceCast network, but not on the Random Chatter network. And the two of you have not gotten to speak to this person unless you've seen him at conventions.
No.
No. Okay. But I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting him at the next one.
He is a very cool guy. Yeah. And he's very personable. He loves meeting fans. You'll get to see him at the next convention, and hopefully he'll remember you from the interview, and it'll be awesome.
Awesome. So, looking forward to it.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for this episode of The Outer Rim. Thank you for sticking around with us through all of this. I know you probably haven't listened to all of 100 episodes because the show's gone through various iterations over the years, but we are happy you are here with us right now, and we want to hear from you. Send us your feedback. You can email it to outerrim@randomchatter.com. You can find us on Instagram at Random Chatter or Force Chatter, which is also where you can find us on Twitter. And where can we find the two of you on Twitter? Fred, what's your Twitter address?
You can find me at Freddy Juan Kenobi. That's FreddyJuanKenobi.
All right. And Andrea?
You can find me on Twitter at Cats Bears. That's KatzBears.
Okay. And while I would give you my Twitter account, you guys have all heard it before. And the reality is I don't think I've opened Twitter in like all of 2018.
It's almost over. You still have a chance.
Yeah, I still have a chance. Like my annual Facebook post. Hi, I'm making my annual Facebook post. I got nothing. See you next year. Yeah, I'll have to start doing it.
So where can they
Twitter.
Find all of us together, Eric?
Well, the good news is you can get all of us at randomchatter.com. Or if you just want the Star Wars content at forcechatter.com. But either way, that is the place to go for all of our podcasts on the Random Chatter Network. There's a lot of good stuff there, a lot of good shows. And we would love it if you would help support the network and this show specifically by leaving us reviews. Let people know what you think of the shows. Be nice. I mean, you know, I'm not not asking you to go out of your way if you hate the show, but, you know, if you like us and want to tell other people about us, we would really appreciate you leaving us reviews. Share us out on social media anytime you see that there's a new episode that's been posted or, you know, throw us in a mention if something comes up Star Wars related and you want to hear what our take on it is. Tell your friends about us. Word of mouth is a big way to get people listening to the show, and we would really appreciate that. And then come hang out with us in our Discord server. We've got a lot of great people there. I cannot begin to tell you how awesome the community is that we have on our Discord server. And I don't mean the staff members, though you can communicate with all of us as well. I mean you guys, the listeners, and we are grateful for each and every one of you. And if you're not on our Discord server, you could be. Go to randomchatter.com/discord. It's free. We have a lot of content there that is open to everyone. We do have a content section set aside just for Patreon donors. Even if it's just $1 a month, it unlocks the rest of the Discord server, and it's a substantial section that's set aside. There are a lot of different categories of different channels. There's a Star Wars category of channels. There's a spoiler category of channels, TV shows, general entertainment topics, life topics, etc. So that's available to anybody who donates through Patreon. You can go to randomchatter.com/Patreon for more information about that. But even if you're not supporting the network, come join us in Discord. We've got separate channels for each one of the shows, and that is entirely free. And then finally, the music you hear in this podcast is the Cantina Band Finale by DJ Elliot. Check him out on SoundCloud. He is awesome. His music is awesome. And as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, take care. It's a trap.